message on my heart. This is not an accident. God knows what He's doing. And I certainly appreciate the goodness of God. He's wonderful, isn't He? If you don't know Him tonight, I would highly recommend Him to you. You'll never meet anyone like the Lord. He's wonderful and marvelous and great and greatly to be praised. It's good to have my good friend, Brother Phil Hyland, traveling with me tonight. If you talk with him, you'll find that he's not from around here, but he is from Australia. And he is Brother A.J. McClure. Y'all supported Brother A.J. for years. Brother A.J.'s son-in-law. Brother A.J., you know, passed away a little over two years ago. And Brother Phil is going back to Australia as a missionary. And I bless the Lord for that. I don't recommend preachers. I just don't do that. I have over the years and gotten trouble over it. But I recommend Brother Phil Hyland. He's a good man of God. And I love him. And you children may want to shake hands with him. He is an original Australian cowboy. He got saved on the range. All he did was round up cattle and break wild horses. That's true. And he's a good man of God. And I love him. And I'm glad he could drive me up tonight. And I want us to open our Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And then I'd like for you to turn back to Mark chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then for our illustrative text, we'll look in Mark chapter number 15. I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture here, which is verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Notice what the Word of God says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now let me say that the word temptation here is dealing with, he's dealing with you and I as Christians, as the children of God. And he's dealing here with our testings, our trials, our temptations. Somebody said, well now, preacher, the Bible says that God doesn't tempt man, neither can man be tempted of God. The Bible says that God doesn't tempt man to do evil. And certainly that's in James chapter 1 and verse number 13. He never tempts man or test man to do evil. But he did tempt Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And God did tempt Abraham, but it wasn't to do evil. I want you to understand that. There's been a lot of questions and a lot of controversy on this verse on account of that word. But the temptation here is never to do evil, but it's always He tempts us to draw nigh and to conform us to the image of His dear Son. He tests us and He tries us. Notice, if you will, for there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted I tested, I tried above that ye are able. But will with the temptation or the trial or the test. But will with it, will also make a way to escape. He didn't say that you would escape from it. But he said you could escape with it. Amen. Now, here's the way you escape with the test or the trial. Somebody said, preacher, if it wasn't for this test or this trial, I feel that I could be better used of God. Then you haven't escaped with it. But when you realize that God's in charge, that there's nothing impossible with Him, that God has arranged things to happen the way they happen, you can then escape with the temptation. Hallelujah.
And boy, when you escape with it, then you're just as free as a bird with the trial or the test. Amen. Notice what he says here now. Also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now in this verse, I'm interested in that word bear. Now he's talking here about the test and the trials that God is faithful to us in that situation. And he will not put no more on you, but will with the temptation, he will make a way that ye can bear it. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Mark chapter number 15. Notice, if you will, in verse number 16. This is crucifixion day now. And the soldiers led him, talking about Jesus, away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshiped him. Now I want to say that was a mockery worship. If they wasn't worshiping him, at worshiping him for who he was. But it was a mockery worship. And can I say to you, there's a lot of that going on today. But I sure don't want to be guilty of being in the same congregation of mockery worship. Amen. But I sure do want to give him perfect praise and worship out of a heart that's got so big it can't contain on the inside of what needs to come out. Amen. What a God we have to worship. He's great and greatly to be praised. Notice again, it said here they worshiped him, verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they took off of the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Now let me pause and say that if you want a great study in the Bible, study the times that they changed the Lord's clothing on crucifixion day. And then go to Leviticus 16 and see how many times the high priest changed his clothes on Atonement Day. You will find that he changed his clothes the same amount of time that the high priest changed his clothes on Atonement Day. What the world didn't know is that they was arraying the great high priest. Praise God. I'm glad that we got a God that sets everything in order. And they didn't even know it, but they was arraying him, robing him. Amen. If I get on that, I won't get on this. But notice here, the Bible said in verse number 21, here's my text. And they compel one Simon a Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now notice this phrase. To bear his cross. Now, here's the thrust of my message tonight. That Simon the Cyrene was just passing by. He was just minding his own business. He may have not even known the Lord Jesus. We don't know if they had ever met. He was passing by, coming out of the country. And they compel him, they lay hands on him, and put on him a cross that did not belong to him. And he wasn't expecting it, he wasn't looking for it, he was not thinking about it, but all of a sudden, right in the middle of his daily affairs, there was a cross laid on him that was unexpected. I want to preach tonight on that subject, unexpected crosses. whenever that God of heaven allows situations to come your way that detours your life, and you don't know anything, you're not expecting it, but right there it is. Does God know about that? Oh, I want to tell you, God knows. And there's people here tonight that you're carrying unexpected crosses, but you don't understand why. Well, I want to tell you, friend, Simon the Cyrene can help us understand why people bear an unexpected cross. Now, when the Lord gave me this message, I was preaching, and I do every other year, over in the state of Kentucky for a preacher whom I've known for years. I got there in September. And when I got there, the pastor ran to meet me literally. He said, "Brother Eddie, it's good to see you." He said, "Did you hear what happened the first Sunday of the year in January?" And I said, "Well, I heard bits and pieces, preacher." And I apologized to him for not calling him to find out more. But he said, "Preacher," he said, "let me tell you what happened." And at that time I was in his vehicle. And we were traveling down the road. He said, "The first Sunday of the year," he said, "as at every Sunday," he said, "my wife and I go by and we pick up my mother and we pick up my aunt. And my wife and I carry them to church and then we take them home. We do that every service." He said, "we've been doing it for years." But he said, "this particular morning, we picked them up, came to church, had a good service, left the church." He said, "it was sort of drizzling rain." And he said, "and at that time we were traveling down the road." He said, "now right here where this little hill is," he said, "when I topped this hill," he said, "I wasn't going fast, but," he said, I hit my brake and began to hide the plane because there was a vehicle that was sitting there turning left, oncoming traffic on the 2-lane road. He said, "I began to hide the plane," and he said, "I saw that I was going to hit the vehicle, and I didn't want to get into the lane of the oncoming traffic." So he said, "I let off the brake." He said, "I pulled the car to the right and barely missed the vehicle." And at that time we were stopped. And there was a huge oak tree. And it still had the skip places on it. And by that time he was weeping and crying. And I was too. And he said, "we hit this tree right here." And there was the mark. He said, "it wasn't going fast, but," he said, "when we hit," he said, "my wife had looked over at me after we had hit, said, 'are you all right?' And I said, 'yes, are you?' And she said, 'yes.' But," he said, "when I turned," and he said, "I can't explain it, but when I turned and looked in the back seat," he said, "to make a long story short, I lost my mama and I lost my aunt over something that seemed like was so insignificant." And he said, "they both died because of that minor accident," I thought, "that day." And he said, "preacher, you know Daddy?" And I said, "yeah." He said, "his Alzheimer's has gotten worse." And he said, "mama took care of him, but," said, "now Daddy has had to move in with me and my wife. And now we're having to take care of him." And here's what he said. He said, "in 5 seconds time," he said, "our whole life has been changed from one direction completely to another direction." He said, "we were not expecting it. We were not looking for it." And he said, "I don't understand, preacher." He said, "could you tell me why?" He said, "I value your opinion. Could you tell me why?" I said, "no, preacher, I can't tell you why. But I can tell you that we've got a God that's big enough to have kept it from happening. That," I said, "he allowed it to happen. I don't know why, but he allowed it to happen." And he said, "boy, preacher, It was so unexpected, so unexpected. And that phrase kept beating over and over in my heart. Oh, when I left that meeting at the end of the week, I came back down 127. And that phrase, so unexpected, so unexpected. And the Holy Ghost was driving that home to my heart. And I said, Lord, surely there's something in the Word of God that would help us about people that deal with this. Because there's people everywhere that's dealing with this. The situation was unexpected, but there it is, and you can't do nothing about it. It's there, and now you're having to bear that cross. I went home, and the Holy Ghost said, look at Simon the Cyrene. He was passing by, minding his own business, wasn't looking for anything. But all of a sudden, there was an unexpected cross that was laid on his shoulder. And he had to carry it. He couldn't get away from it. But look who's a walking with him. Hallelujah. He said he had to carry it. He had to carry it. And he couldn't get away from it. Now, boy, when the Lord makes me preach this, I can't hardly deal with it. Because over the last 8 or 10 years, I've had more of these than I care to talk about. But boy, I'm here tonight to tell you that we've got a God that'll not put more on you than you're able to bear. He's wonderful, and He's marvelous, and He's great, and He's greatly to be praised. Oh, boy. Now, the Bible talks about a cross that we're all to be involved with. He says in Matthew 16, He said, you need to take up your cross and follow me daily. Now listen, I believe that cross, that's not the cross I'm dealing with tonight. That's the cross that you volunteer personally to take up. That's not unexpected, that's expected. That's the will of God for your life. I believe that's the cross that He's talking about. That's the will of God that He has for every one of us. Why is it a cross, preacher? Because the will of God is going to go contrary to your flesh. And it's going to go contrary to the world. But that's the cross that you've got to carry to be a follower of Christ. But this cross that Simon bore is a cross additional to the cross you take up. It's a cross that that comes from somewhere else that you're not expecting it. It's a cross that's laid on you over and above the cross that you're to take up. Now, there's a lot of you in here know what I'm talking about. You know about that cross. Some of you have that cross laid on you. Some of you is under that load now of a situation that you can't get loose from. It's there. God gave it to you. And you're having to carry it, and it's changed your lifestyle. It's changed everything about you. But it's there. Now, somebody said, well, preacher, what are we going to do with that cross that's above the cross that we are to take up? Well, let me say to you, friend, I want you to listen carefully here. This is Calvary Day that we're dealing with. This is the day which the Lord has made. We'll go there in just a moment. But this is Calvary Day. Just go there for a moment. I know you know this, but in Psalm 118, verse number 22, it says this, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then it says this, and we use this verse a lot. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We say that about a good, sunny, beautiful Sunday. And you know, we're not doing the Scripture damage to do that. But the day that it's talking about is just not a beautiful Sunday. It's a particular day. It says here, this is the day which the Lord hath made. What day is it? It's the day they rejected the stone. It was the day of crucifixion. It was the day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Hallelujah. This is the day. Every day He makes it. But this particular day was the day when His darling Son was going to pay the sin debt on Calvary's hill. And that was already settled from before the foundation of the world. And that day was already made in the mind of God. Now I want to say to you, from sun up till sun down, the day when the Son of God paid the sin debt that you and I could be saved, that's a day that God the Father was sure enough interested in. That was the day whenever He would motivate and move like pawns on a chessboard. This one would be here, and He would put this one here, and He would move this one over here because His Son, this is the day that He has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully. That day that the Lord made Simon the Cyrenian, he just didn't happen to be passing by. If God made that day, He had Simon right where He wanted him, right at the right time. Because you see, just not anybody is going to help carry that cross up that hill. It's going to take a special individual. Now I want to tell you, friend, it's going to take a special individual to carry that unexpected cross that God has given you to carry. Don't get mad at God. Don't get angry at Him. Just look who it is that's a walking beside you. This is going to get too big for me. I didn't see it. Oh, Lord. But this is the day. Simon the Cyrenian, walking by. He's not a Jew. He's alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. The promises of Abraham were not his. But he was there at the moving of God. In his mind, he was passing by, coming out of the country. In the mind of God, He brought him right there to where somebody could get a hold of him and shove him under there with His darling Son. Oh, what I'm trying to get you to understand, just not anybody is going to be able to carry that cross. It's hand-picked by the Father. Hey, somebody said, preacher, but this is so unexpected. Yeah, but you've been hand-picked by the Father. He's hand-picked you to carry this cross, to bring glory to His name. He's hand-picked you. You've got to get this. It ain't because God's mad at you. It ain't because God's angry. It ain't because God's having no more respect for you than He does others, because He's no respecter of person. But He has handpicked you to lay a cross that you may be able to exhibit the Son of God like nobody else can. Lord, have mercy. Somebody said, well, now, preacher, why did they compel Him to bear the cross? Did Jesus not have enough strength to do it Himself? Did Jesus fall beneath the load because He was so weak? No. We sing about it. I've heard it preached that the reason they compel Simon
is that Jesus could no longer stand up beneath the load. Jesus, this is the Son of God I'm talking to you about. Matter of fact, I've got proof in the Bible that he was still under the cross when they put Simon under it. And I've got proof in the Bible that he never did get out from under it. Where is it, preacher? John chapter 19 and verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Verse 17 says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. What's that, preacher? That's the verse that said Jesus bore his cross all the way. He never stumbled beneath the load and Simon have to carry it. No. He bore it all the way and could and made it all the way to the place where they crucified him. And let me say to you that had they not compelled Simon, he would have still bore it to the place where he was crucified. Because if he laid his cross down, he could expect us to lay ours down. But since he took it all the way, there's no place for us to lay ours down. Now watch this. Get this right here. This will help somebody if you'll let it. If Jesus bore his cross, and he did, why compel Simon? So that we would know what to do when we were compelled to bear an unexpected cross. Look at it. Here's the Son of God. He's carrying his cross. They compel Simon to get under there with him. Look at it like this. If Jesus bore it all the way, it wasn't Simon helping Jesus. It wasn't Simon helping Jesus bear his cross. It was Jesus a helping Simon. It was Jesus a helping Simon bear that unexpected cross. When unexpected situations come your way, he didn't do it to knock you down. He did it so he could help you bear that load. And I'm going to run ahead of myself here. But that cross sure does look like a yoke. If I was going to bear a cross, look here, if I was going to bear a cross, you know, we got the pictures of him doing it like this. That's a hard way to do it. I really believe that the cross was more like this. The cross members on either side and the long part hanging behind. And here goes Jesus. Up Calvary's Hill, just like this. But they compel Simon to get under it. The Bible says in Luke that Simon bore the cross after him. That doesn't mean it was behind him. It just means he got under it after Jesus did. It don't mean that he was walking behind him. He just got under it after Jesus did. See, we get our own pictures and it dilutes the Word of God. So, Jesus is probably carrying it like this, Brother Barry. I just found something. Probably carrying it like this. He's probably carrying it just like this. And they compel Simon. Jesus has got his arms wrapped around the cross members. But Simon gets under it. Jesus slides under one side. And put Simon under the other. Now they're yoked together. And the cross has got them yoked together. Somebody said, I thought God was mad at me when he done that. No. He just arranged it to where he could yoke up, where you could yoke up with him, and fellowship with him. I want you to get this right here. There was a looking for a cross bearer. The Bible says, now every gospel account says something different about Simon the Cyrene. And boy, the Lord helped me to see this. This is just all right here in the Bible. But the Bible says in Matthew 27 verse 32, this is what Matthew says. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. Now watch that. Look at the word found. They found a man. Now they were looking for a particular type man. And I believe they just found the one God had prepared all the time.
Amen.
See, this is the day the Lord's made. God the Father's arranging everything. They found the man. Now, come here, son. They found the man. Well, too small. Sometimes you're too small. Thank you, son. They're looking for a particular type fella. Somebody that's strong enough to do it. It ain't somebody that's weak and anemic. It's somebody that basically the same size. Basically the same size as Jesus. And spiritually speaking, you need to get a hold of that. It ain't because you're a nothing and a nobody. He found somebody about the same size that was strong enough and that would do it without complaining about it. Good Lord, anybody getting anything from this? Oh, they found somebody just about the same size, strong enough. And the Lord and God of glory had Simon moving right there. Somebody said, boy, if I knew this would have happened, I would have taken another road. My wife, she's not here tonight, but you know my wife. Her mom passed away, and she passed away with lung cancer. But it all set up, it all started from an aneurysm in the brain. I don't understand all that, but they diagnosed it. She had an aneurysm in the brain years ago. My wife, they were going to the laundromat. This was years ago. And they took a scenic route. Her mama said, I like to go around and look at the old home place. Well, they were over on one of the windy roads in the mountain when she had the aneurysm. And my wife liked to, they pronounced her dead when they got her there, but miraculously God savaged her. But my wife, for months and even a year, said, if I only hadn't went that way. If I hadn't went that way. Well, I didn't know what to tell her. But I was preaching along these lines one night in a revival meeting, and I seen it dawn on her. My wife went, She went, That's about all you'll ever get out of her. That's the most I'd ever seen, but she went, And she told me after the service, she said, I've been eat up with that. All of these years, but you said, God, let me see tonight that it didn't make any difference. He has everything in control. There's some of you beating yourself up tonight, and the devil is telling you, well, if you just hadn't to let him go, if you hadn't went that way, if he'd have went another way, if you'd have got there on time, or this or that, and the devil is telling you all of that. that's your servant of God. Hallelujah. That's not everything arranged. And He brought you to that place so He could place on you a cross that would magnify the Lamb of God. Here's what we normally say when calamities and tragedies come to families. Because we're human, a lot of times we think that way. We say, well, I wonder what they did that God's having to deal with them in such a manner. I wonder what sin they committed. It may not be that at all. It may be God found a family. God found a person. God found a mama. God found a daddy that He could lay an unexpected cross on and then carry it to the top of the mountain and never complain about it. Simon the Cyrene is mentioned in all four accounts of the Gospels, but you don't find him saying nothing. You don't find Simon the Cyrene saying a word. He just carries it. There's a lot being said everywhere. But there's two that ain't murmuring and complaining. That's Jesus and Simon. Look, there's a looking for a cross bearer. They had to have the availability. He was there. They had to have ability. He had to be strong enough to carry it. And then he had to have the right attitude. I don't find nowhere where Simon fought against that cross. No, I don't want this. No, I've got my life planned out to do what I want to do today. No, I don't want you messing with me. I don't find him complaining. He just gets, I've learned this. That was an old rough piece of wood. And you fight against the cross. And you'll rub yourself the wrong way after a while. But if you'll just settle down under it. And head on up the mountain. You'll get to lay it down one day. Hallelujah. At the top of the hill, you can lay it down. Just carry it on, child of God. Just carry it on. Just carry it on. There was a looking for a cross bearer. There was the load of the cross bearer. Bible says in Luke, and I don't have time to deal with this, but Luke 23:26, it says, and they laid hold on Simon and they laid on him the cross. Now I don't know what Simon could have been carrying luggage-wise that day, if anything. But I can assure you this, to carry that cross, he had to lay everything else down. It was a load. It was a load. I don't know what his business was. I have no idea. The Bible only says he was passing by, coming out of the country. I don't know what his business was. I don't know. I don't know if he had a load of anything. I don't know. But I know this. That cross became the number one burden. In other words, he could have held on to a little something else. He could have. He could have. But you see, what the point I'm making is that that unexpected cross that God's given you to bear has become now, you didn't want it. You didn't want it, but it's become your number one priority now. You think about it constantly. It's on your mind every day. A lot of you are involved with it every day. You had your own life planned out. You had it all set out the way you wanted it. But God laid on you an unexpected cross. But God, this is, let me say it again, this is the day which the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. There's the not only the looking for a cross bearer and the load of the cross bearer. It was an additional burden to whatever else he was doing. And let me say it like this. It was an accountable burden. They didn't lay it on him and then lay it on somebody else a few steps away. Halfway up the mountain, they didn't get somebody. No, when they laid it on him, he was accountable to bear it to the top of the hill. You can't get away from it. There it is. It's on you. I don't know nobody in here tonight and your situations. But I know one thing. The moment he asked me to come, I done told Rhonda what we were going to do tonight when we got back home. Well, she fussed at me some. But then tonight she got my shirt out and ironed it. She said, "Honey, I want you to know I'll be praying for you. And I love you." But when he told me, it was like God opened my heart up and stuck this in it and said, "Now deal with that." Somebody's going to be able to escape with it tonight. Somebody's going to be able to escape with it. You're not going to be able to get out from under it. You're just going to be able to be free as a bird with it. There's the labor for the cross bearer. They compelled him to bear. That word bear, if you'll study it, means a heavy load. Heaviness. They compelled him to bear this heavy load. I'm going to give you the last point and I'm done. There's a lesson for the cross bearer. What's the lesson, preacher? Well, this cross to Simon the Cyrene and the cross that God's given you is a path where you can show him. Somebody said, "Boy, I'd sure like for the world to see the Lord in me." Look coming up the hill. Look coming up the hill. You can't see Simon without seeing Jesus. And you can't see Jesus without seeing Simon. Because the cross has got them welded together. And somebody said, "I've been praying that I could magnify the Lord in my body." He may use an unexpected cross to answer your prayer. If you won't fight against it and complain about it, when the world sees you, if it's working the way the Lord intended it, when the world sees you, they'll see Him. Look at this. Not only it's a path where you can show Him, but if you missed everything else I said, I want you to get this. It's a pace where you can know Him. I don't know if Simon was a fast walker, if he was a jogger, if he was a marathon runner. I don't know. I don't know how fast he might have been moving along that day to get out of the country, headed home. I don't know. Just passing by, minding his own business. But I can assure you this. Listen, I can assure you this. That cross slowed him down. But guess what? Got him in step with Jesus. You got to get that. When you're hooked up to a cross, you got to walk with it. Jesus takes a step and Simon takes a step. And you'll find out in my dad-in-law taught me this about oxen. He said, I've taught my oxen, and he used to break them, and he'd put them in a double yoke. And he said, if you can ever get them walking at the same step, he said, it ain't no strain on neither one of them. And this cross welded Simon to the Lord Jesus, and now, just walk with him. Just get in step with him. Don't try to run off and leave him, and don't lag behind. It'll wear you out. Just, it slowed you down. It slowed your way down. You're not being able to do what you used to do, but you're doing a lot better now than what you did. God just got you in step with him. Got you in step with him. Watch this. I see Jesus' lips moving, but I'm just in the crowd. I'm sure interested in knowing what he's saying. Guess who I'm going to ask? Guess who I'm going to ask? Simon. Simon, when you got out of that cross, I heard him just, I seen his mouth moving, but I couldn't hear him. And Simon would say, this is what he said. Because his ear is real close to the Lord. Only thing that separates them is the cross beam. And it's the cross has got them welded together. Anybody getting anything out of this? If you will allow it, and if you won't let the devil mess with your cross, it'll get you in step with him, and then you'll be able to hear what he has to say when nobody else can. Because you see, he's right there helping you carry your cross. Oh, I wish I could be out there running loose and fancy free like everybody else and doing what I used to do, what I want to do. Yeah, but you'd miss the most intimate words that he has to say as you're walking along with him. It's a path where you can show him. It's a pace where you can know him. It's a power where you can grow with him. And then there's a promise that's bestowed on him. What's the promise given to Simon the Cyrene, preacher? He just has to carry it to the top of the hill. He just has to carry it to the top of the hill. And Jesus is going to do the rest of the work on him. He's free from it now. Jesus is going to die on it. Now he's free from it. Could I say to you, Simon carried it to the top of Golgotha. All you got to do is just carry it to the top of old Mount Zion. And you'll get to trade that cross for a crown. And then you can take that crown that's yours and take it to the one that slowed you down, and you've really got to know, and lay it at his feet and say, thank you, Lord, for that cross. Because if it hadn't have been for it, I wouldn't have had nothing to give. Thank you, Lord. I'm done with this right here. Mark says that Simon the Cyrene was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Why put the two boys in there? Why Alexander? Why Rufus? Why Alexander? Why even mention the boys? Was the boys with him that day? I don't know. I don't think so. They could have been. But I like to think of it like this. Alexander and Rufus and Miss Simon was home. Well, I wonder where Daddy's at, Rufus says to Alexander. Mama says, well, I don't know. He should have been here, but now it normally doesn't take him this long. And it was just about dusky dark to get to Syrian from Jerusalem. And he died somewhere around 3. And so I believe, I just kind of think Simon hung around there and watched. If you walk with a man up Calvary, you'd want to see what else he had to say before he drew his last breath. Just about dusky dark, Simon comes walking in the house. "Daddy, where'd you get them blood splatters all over you?" Because you don't whip a man next to you and you don't get some of it too. "Whose blood? Somebody hurt you, Daddy?" "No, not me. I was just coming through Jerusalem. And them Romans was crucifying a man. I've come to find that his name was Jesus." "Never walk with nobody like that, boys." The whole way up the hill, he kept saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I was really wanting to get home, but said there was something about this gentleman that I got interested in. So he said, "I just didn't complain and just carried it on." He said they crucified him. Said over the cross they'd had Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Had it written in 3 languages. There's 2 other fellows crucified with him, but boy, they sure were talking bad. And one of them didn't get saved, but I really believe one of them did. Because I heard him ask the Lord to remember him when he entered into his kingdom and said, "I don't understand all of that. I know the man was dying and he wanted to be remembered when he went into his kingdom. I don't understand it all. But I never met nobody like him. His name's Jesus of Nazareth." If you would study Romans 16, there's a whole list of names down through there. And Mark wrote his gospel to the Romans. Paul now is giving salutations to the church at Rome. And he said, "Salute Rufus." And his mother is mine. Goodness, I wish I had time to deal with that. "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, a pillar of the church." A pillar. I don't know, but I could think that it happened something like this. Little Jew come into town one day, got off a boat, had been shipwrecked twice. Had handcuffs on him. But he said, "He's risen!" Study the book of Romans to see if he don't talk about the resurrection in there about more than he does anything else. "He arose from the dead, Jesus of Nazareth." And old Rufus said, "Well, that's the man my daddy was talking about. You mean he got up from the dead?" No wonder Rufus ended up as a pillar in the church. And here's my point, and I'm done. If you won't complain about the cross you're bearing, your kids may end up being pillars in the church too. You know why we see so many of our children going every way? Because they see, and it's not always this way, don't misrepresent what I'm saying. But they see mom and daddy not enjoying the things of God when it's not going well. They hear mom and daddy complaining, grumbling, griping. I love what our brother said. "Been 6 months since I worked. I think I've been here within that 6 months. Have I been here within..." He's here every service. I didn't know it. I didn't know he didn't have a job. Got up here tonight and talked about how good God is. Amen. And that little old... Is that your girl? Did you hear when she stepped up there to sing, sound like an angel stuck her in the reeds? Now, I don't know if this little message helped anybody or not. That preacher that I started out with called me Tuesday. I was in Charlottesville, Virginia. I hope you don't get mad at me, but I was playing golf. And the pastor and I, he called. Brother Eddie, yes. I just want you to know that God has helped me more than you'll ever know. He said, I shared with you and told you things. And I was already thinking about this message when he called. And he said, I let you in on secrets that I've never told anybody. But he said, God has set me free.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody tonight is going to escape with it. You've been bound down too long because of it. And it wasn't given to bind you. It was given to you to set you free.
Amen.
Did you know the only way Jesus could get out of this world was through that cross?
Yeah, that's right.
You know the only way you're going to get delivered from this world? Receive the cross that He's given to you to bear. Thank Him for it. You ever thank Him for it? Boy, strikes a bad note, don't it? No, Lord. No, preacher, I'll carry it and I'll do the best I can with it, but I ain't thanking Him for it. What if you thanked Him for it? Wonder what would happen. Let's stand.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.